I hope you have learned in part one of this series how addicting and attractive social media and screens are to children. Addiction, too strong a word, you think? Think again. Just watch many of today's teens with their smartphones. They are regularly having intrusive, repetitive thoughts of checking their phones for updates and clearly become distressed when the phone stops working or is taken away. In the addiction world, that's called withdrawal. And once the addiction has taken hold, others can use it to strongly influence a child's specific thoughts, feelings, and actions, a process called brain hacking. Today, as promised, we're going to get into some specifics of what parents can do to guard against internet addiction and brain hacking. Stay informed, stay engaged, and of course, stay tuned to this edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics.
It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's Portable Practical Pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Well, I know some of you are thinking that I'm exaggerating the addictive quality of digital technologies and that I'm blowing this issue way out of proportion. Well, I really don't think so, and here's why. Let me explain by using an analogy that makes sense to me, and maybe it'll make sense to you. If you are a parent, you remember the tremendous life-changing shift in your thought patterns that occurred the day your child was born. From the moment of your child's birth, you began to worry about the well-being of your child, constantly. Were they safe? Were they hungry? Were they cold? Or were they just okay? After your child's arrival, your brain quickly became refocused and trained to be vigilant about this little person's well-being 24/7. These thoughts became automatic, intrusive, and constant in your head, like an itch that has to be scratched. Well, this is exactly what happens to a child who has become addicted to their smartphone and social media. They have developed an automatic, intrusive, and constant need to keep up with what's happening in cyberspace, just like a parent's need to always be vigilant for their child's well-being. But whereas a parent's worry serves a greater purpose, social media doesn't and can become a major distraction for your child. So what's the big deal if a child spends a great deal of time with digital technologies and communication? They're still children, right? Well, yeah, that's true, but remember what is happening during childhood. Your child is developing their worldview, learning to interpret the meaning of events they experience, and making sense of everything. They do this by taking note of the consequences of events and by watching how those around them react to those events. This is the fundamental way our brains work. We learn to interpret the events and attach feelings to those events based on event outcomes and by observing the way in which trusted people around us are affected. Psychologists call this process the development of a child's personal narrative. Of course, one's parents traditionally have the biggest input into this process. That is, until recently. Prior to the 21st century, one's personal narrative was mostly about a child's family, but not today. Cyber-based technologies have eroded that influence, devaluing the influence of parents and elevating that of peers and our culture at large. To quote the well-known psychologist and physician Dr. Leonard Sachs in his blockbuster book, The Collapse of Parenting, quote, "We now live in a culture in which kids value the opinion of same-age peers more than they value the opinion of their parents, a culture in which the authority of parents has declined not only in the eyes of children, but also in the eyes of parents themselves." End of quote. Well, you may be wondering, how can cyber technologies adversely undermine a parent's influence? Well, by becoming the overwhelmingly dominant influence on a child's thoughts and feelings, and substitute force in the development of a child's personal narrative. Let's take a look at which cultural influences children have had available to them in the past and compare them with today's world. I think you're going to quickly see that the combination of addiction and brain hacking is a direct extension of the invention of the internet and the smartphone. Let's start with the 19th century. In these years, children got some limited exposure to magazines and newspapers and books, but this exposure was usually censored by parents, and exposure was very limited. Then the 1920s came along with the birth of commercial radio. Again, children were minimally impacted by this communication medium because listening was mostly a family affair, not a solo event. How about the 1950s and 60s? This was the era of my childhood, so I can speak from experience here. We had the telephone and television as our cutting-edge technologies of communication. But as children, we had very limited access to watching TV or talking on the telephone, since most homes only had one of each of these devices, and using them was again dominated by adults. Then came the 1980s. Now access to personal and mass communication devices was coming within the sphere of childhood. In my opinion, and evidence indicates, that this is when homes started having multiple TVs, and it is also the time when TVs started creeping into children's bedrooms. That was the beginning of the trouble. And finally, the current state of affairs. Now we have 24/7 communication with wireless transmission, streaming entertainment, personal and entertainment tablets, computers, and smartphones. Of course, all on demand. This all adds up for many children to a diminishing voice and influence of their parents' opinions and thoughts, and a new voice appearing in the children's lives, one that is trying to sell them something or influence them in some other way. Well, how do we protect today's children from the potentially corrosive effects of internet-based technologies? I admit these inventions are making parenting a very difficult task. In many respects, much tougher than in previous generations. I hear young parents talk about this all the time in my practice. They say things like, "How can I deal with this rapidly changing technology that has the potential of having such a profound influence on my children?" Well, what they're really saying with that statement is, how do we protect their children from predatory marketing and persuasion by third parties such as corporations, marketers, or fringe political groups? Or how do we protect them from excessive influence by their peers? Or how do we protect them from having their innocence ruined by cyberbullying, sexting, exploration of pornography, excessive gambling, or engagement with malicious strangers in chat rooms? Heavy questions, and certainly hard to answer, but remember that the brain hacking is a two-step process. First, the addiction must take hold, and then the brain hacking starts. Parents must address both of these issues if they are hoped to maintain control, but most importantly, they need to prevent the addiction. Here are the suggestions I give my patients to stop both the addiction from starting and avoid the brain hacking that the addiction can cause. Limit the technology available to your children until they are old enough and mature enough to handle what they are encountering, and always protect them from becoming obsessed by these technologies. And make sure that internet tools and content they are being provided are age appropriate. Their rooms should be screen free, and their other screen activities should be done in the quote public end of quote parts of your home. Make sure that you are using the current safeguards, filters, and limiting software that are available to you. Refuse to allow your children to use technology that is encrypted and not visible by adults, such as apps like Snapchat and Wickr. Stay involved in your children's digital life and maintain close, ongoing supervision. And set out clear-cut rules about digital communications at home, as well as when they are away from your home. And don't forget to set a good example for your children. And most importantly, Help your children interpret what they are encountering on TV shows, in movies, on the internet, on social media, and in the behavior of their peers and society in general. Remember that personal narrative they're forming, you want to be a large part of its formation. In short, only by being engaged and sensitive to your child's feelings and thoughts, and by helping them interpret what they are experiencing in their digital lives, can parents hope to shield their children from potential harm the digital world presents. Each parent is going to have to decide for themselves the when, the how much, and under what caveats their children will use digital technologies. I gave you my personal opinion on what I would do in part one of this series. If you have suggestions, please chime in. I certainly don't have all the answers. I welcome your input, and I hope that this blog post has stimulated your interest in thinking about these issues and help you with your decision process. As always, I wish you the best. If you enjoy exploring issues of child health and well-being with PEDcast, consider taking a moment to write a review on iTunes or on Facebook. This helps others find my podcast. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, you know, Doc Smo, trying hard to emphasize the importance of a parent's word and not the chant of the herd. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.